the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved Sister in Christ, Salome. Beloved Brother Priests in Christ. Brothers and sisters all in the priesthood of Christ. We have anointed Salome. We have anointed our own Mother Carey in this very special way with the oil of healing. We might ask ourselves, first of all, who is it that does this healing? How is this healing accomplished? This healing is done. This anointing is done by Jesus, the only high priest. Jesus, the Christ himself. He is the one whose hand performs this anointing. And we who are ordained so that our hands and voices might be his hands and voices are not accomplishing something ourselves. We are participating in what he is doing, what he is accomplishing. It's always that way for us human beings. We were created to participate in the divine life of God himself. He became one of us so that we might participate in just this way, just as we were created to do. Driving up here from St. Timothy's in the car, there was a discussion about how would we explain to those outside of the Orthodox faith what we were coming here to do. The vast majority of us here have come from the life outside of the Orthodox faith. And so it is a concern. How are we to explain what we do and what we are doing specifically and particularly here tonight? What can we compare it to that they would be familiar with? And of course, there are healings that are performed, intended to be accomplished outside of the faith. But they are so different. It's almost no help for us to refer to them. For those outside of the Orthodox faith, it is as though we are abandoned in a world that is broken, left to live a life amidst the broken world, as sinners unable to participate and share in the divine life of God himself in any direct and full kind of way. And the only advantage we have over those who are not Christians is that when we die, we're not damned. Healings among them are always miracles of God that break into this world from above and outside of the world. They are exceptions to the life that we live in this world, so distant from God, unable to participate and share in his divine life. Every such event is an exception to the life that we are condemned to live. For us Orthodox, it is so very, very different. The life that we live is the life that we enter into on baptism. The life that we live is the life that we were created to live from the beginning. We enter into and we participate in the divine life of Christ God himself. If there is anything that the world outside doesn't expect and sees as a departure from that ordinary, godless world, then as far as we are concerned, it comes from the accomplishment of Christ on the cross and his resurrection. We come here not so much to ask for, or much less to perform, some miraculous act. Instead, we might better say, the miracle has already occurred. The miracle has already been accomplished. We participate and live within that miraculous life. That life is our life in Christ. And we bring all of our sufferings into and in relationship to that life of God Himself that we can share. And so things of this world that pull us back and drag us down and make us ill, they can pass away. Under the healing hand of Christ Himself, the physician, He has changed the world and made it possible for Himself to act within this world as the Creator and Lord of this world that He is. Every one of us who is born into this world is born with a heart that needs healing. A heart that needs to be healed. Not one of us is born into this world whole as God intended for us to be. We as Orthodox know and understand that the heart is not simply a part of the body. Our understanding is that at the heart of a human being is a physical and spiritual reality that is not meant to be separated from or live separately from God. All of us need the healing of the heart. Some of us specifically and somewhat uniquely need some special physical healing of the heart. And in those cases, we see witnesses of the power of God and how He deals with those who have united themselves to Him. On Carrie's journal, we learned that this is an inherited condition that she has received from other members of her family in the past, and that there have been others who, lacking the kind of medical skill and capacity that we now have had their lives shortened. But now, the life of someone who has this kind of condition is lengthened on a regular basis by the procedure that she's going to go through Thursday. And it is a frightening, scary sort of thing, not to be minimized. We don't want to pretend it's all taken care of. We don't have to worry. We need to be concerned, but we need to be concerned in a way that is fully Orthodox. And our concern is that we need to gather together, as we are doing, and bring this healing that the doctors and nurses will participate in as the hands of God. Not unlike what the priest does at the altar, but here in the operating room. Giving their hands to Christ to accomplish physically what needs to be done. On the one hand, we're familiar with a certain aspect of this. Those of us who are not called to be witnesses in this physical kind of way. We know about the connection between the self-emptying of Christ on the cross and the kind of self-emptying that we perform at the sacrament of confession. And we know that we must experience that. We must enter into a baptism, a repentance, and a self-emptying like that of Christ on the cross in order that we might die to this world and arise in resurrection. That is the miracle that we participate in. And what we participate in baptism, in confession, is a foretaste of the final baptism, the final passage through the darkness that leads to the continuation of the eternal life that we are already living. But when it comes to resurrection, not many of us experience a foretaste of that. In my own family, there is a congenital heart disease that ended the life of my grandfather at a very young age. My mother and her brothers and sisters, and she was very young, grew up without a father, and no one knew why. He went off to work one day, and he never came back. Now, I have the condition that he has. And had that condition not been discovered by faltering physicians, many of whom who disagreed with one another, I would not be standing here with you today. I would never have fulfilled my time at St. John of the Light. All of those things would not have occurred. But I was fortunate in that an excellent physician, suddenly I found myself in the presence of this man. Terrible insurance. Cary has excellent physicians. People who work in the hospital have said, if I had to have this kind of work done, that is the person I would want to have doing it. And so was my case. This man was ahead of the curve as far as the analysis of heart disease for his time. My condition would ordinarily have been treated by surgery and a slicing off of portions of the heart to make it thinner, because the problem was that it was too thick. My heart beats slow and heavy, and sometimes very erratically. And those of you who know me may begin to see a pattern. But rather than that surgery, this man was convinced by the just emerging literature that a pacemaker could be used in order to synchronize the beating of the heart with the needs of my body. And so he put one in. The majority of his fellow physicians disagreed with his decision. And I don't know why, but not long after that, he retired. And he turned me over to another physician, someone who did not believe in that literature, and basically turned off the pacemaker and told me that if I ever had a heart attack, it would kick in. So it was not doing what it had been put there to do. And I experienced a passage through a period of time when I asked Archbishop Dimitri, please send someone else because the mission is about to grow and I cannot physically do this. I dragged myself along in a terrible condition and knew that my time had almost come. And then I went to a new doctor. I found a registered nurse, a man who was up on the literature that had developed since the time the pacemaker had put in. And here is the point why I mentioned all these things. I had the experience of sitting in a chair with all the stuff they stick onto you. They can change your pacemaker from outside just by turning knobs and dials. I had the experience of going there not expecting further life, having no hope of greater capacity. And gradually I felt the blood course through my body, like a flood filling me with the presence of life everywhere. It was a resurrectional experience. It was a foretaste of the resurrection at a physical level. And to me, it was a witness of the fact that this is what will happen, you know, to all of us. That no darkness can prevail over us. Cary's condition was discovered in time for this surgery to be performed. And I certainly expect and live for and pray for with great hope that she too will experience this filling of her body with a life that comes from where? Not from the operating table. From God Himself. He is the one who fills our body with life. He is the one who has created us in such a way that the heart pumps life through the body. That the heart pumps spiritual and physical life throughout the body. And so we have a witness to a great mystery that we come to pray for and to lay hands on, to bring her within more fully, within and into the life that is the gospelly, the prophesied in the gospel, this life of Christ that we spend so much time talking about. It's not just something that we believe in. It's something that we live. It is the reality of our life. There is no life in this world but God's divine life and our ability to share it. In his own time, as he prepared to go to the cross, our Lord gathered around himself the chief members of those who were to be the body of his body, the body of Christ, the apostles in the upper room. He gathered them together because he was gathering all things together. He was preparing to perform. And it makes sense to me to say, a kind of open heart surgery on the universe. Not so strained an idea, I think, because after all, if we think about the world that God created, where is the heart of creation? It is in us, the human beings. We were created to be the living, free, beating, living hearts of creation. And there is something wrong with us. He came into the world in order to fix what was wrong with us, to be the divine physician, and to heal and save our humanity. That's what I mean by a kind of open heart surgery on the universe. And he did it. He accomplished it. The miracle has been wrought. The miracle has been done. It is only for us to participate and to share in the life-giving capacity of that accomplishment. We gather here just as he gathered his apostles. We gather because we are the body of Christ. The priests are simply the hands and voices of Christ himself, and Carrie is the witness of the life that he gives to us. And we want to associate her healing, along with the participation of the physicians, with that healing. So that this victory is Christ's victory. It's not simply a victory of medicine. It takes more, and there is no amount of medical skill to heal the human heart. Not wholly, not fully. And that's why we come here to do this. The oil that we blessed her with, the oil that we anointed her with, can't be prepared in advance. Why do so many come from so far to do this? Couldn't we just pray for her from within our own parishes? No, we have to come here. It has to be done. There have to be hands to do it. There have to be voices to sing these things. There have to be voices to read the epistles and the gospels, all seven of them. It takes at least seven priests. I think we have here nine. It has to actually be done together. We do this work together. Not just the priests, but all of us, just as we do at the Divine Liturgy. The work is done by us together, at one with one another, and at one with God. Because we are the members of the body of Christ. That is what we are bringing this into. So that the life of this person can be fulfilled and be a witness to the new life that has been given us. Now, the devil is not happy about any of this. And he can be counted on to try desperately to sow fear and doubt and the temptation to rely on oneself when we are confronted with such a challenge, a bodily challenge, a challenge that is obviously not something of the mind. And that's another reason that we're here. That's something else that brings us here. Probably one of the things, I think, that brings us here is as simple as Carrie's wonderful smile. Something we should remember and call to mind as we pray to her over the next few days and beyond that. There is the grace of God in that smile. We come together in order to be able to actually do this and in order to confront the demons of fear and doubt, because all together, when we are gathered together at one with Christ, how can we fear? We belong to her, to Carrie. She belongs to us and with us. We are one with her. She is one with us. And all of us are at one with God. How can fear and doubt prevail against us when God is here for us and we are the members of his body? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.